ようこそどうぞはじめまして。
Hello everyone, welcome to the Glorio Chats, the best anime podcast probably by some measure. We have a topic show for this episode, a topic that I'm calling the state of how we watch. So it's primarily driven by the impact Netflix has had on how we watch anime over the past year or two. But, you know, we'll get a little bit more into just the general, you know, streaming and how we watch anime in 2018 and how that's kind of changed and evolved a bit. So with me today, we have reunited Team Glorio USA.
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 So, yeah, I'm Jell. I have Iroh, of course.
Hi.
G,
read the Golden Kamuy manga.
we're still on that one. Thank you, G, for getting up so early to be on the podcast today.
You know, I make the sacrifices I have to.
Yeah.
for the crew.
We're
for the family.
We are dedicated to delivering quality anime content, regardless of the sacrifice. And we also have Marlin.
I am the newest. Basically disciple of the Golden Kamuy manga. Go read it.
Nice.
It spreads. Soon the gospel will take over just all.
Just won the like Tezuka Award or something, right?
Yeah. It was actually nominated for a couple years. I actually was not aware that a manga could get nominated for that award multiple times, but yes, it finally won, so... You know, just in the,
it's
way
like you've been preaching, like on Kamui is really like three manga rolled into one. So
yes, just in the wake of that anime, just give me all the validation I can get my hands on. I don't care where it comes from. Just give that shit to me.
Yeah,
yeah. And on another positive note, even if the Golden Kamui manga or anime has not panned out, at least there's some other good shows going on. And we just wanted to give a quick shout out. To we're not going to talk fully about anime this week, but we'll get to that next podcast. But
we'll talk a lot about anime this week.
Well, I mean the currently airing stuff, but
that is like laser targeted towards your two's interests.
Yeah, yesterday there were two very good episodes. There was one for Full Metal Panic and one for Hinamatsuri that were basically like written for G and myself respectively. So G, you want to give a quick shout out to the Full Metal Panic episode?
This week's Full Metal Panic was basically like laser targeted for my tastes. You know, it's an episode about, you know, the not really the red shirts, but like the grunts of the protagonist faction having to hold out against the big bad villain, you know, who are sending these super powerful robots after them, and they only got, you know, their like typical, you know, mass-produced grunt suits, you know, and they gotta hold out against the bad guy long enough for the rest of the good guys to escape. And it's just that good-ass, desperate guerrilla war shit that, you know, I just have not seen since like 8th MS Team or something. You know, it's a style of mecha anime that is just not that common anymore. And it's weird in 2018 to watch mecha anime and be like, oh man, maybe. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but in this specific slice of time, mecha anime was good again. And that's a euphoric feeling, to say the least.
Yeah, you were...
It took 15 years!
It only took 15 years!
You were telling us about the details of the episode. I'm like, did you write this script? This like sounds like...
It felt like it.
Sounds like everything you've ever said you ever wanted in an anime, mecha anime.
Yeah, and just to add real quickly, it is just so weird and like validating to find out that actually, no, you know, I didn't just like Full Metal Panic because, you know, I was a dumb kid with bad taste back then, but to watch Full Metal Panic now in 2018 and find out actually, nah, this shit is still all right, you know, so
it's pretty cool,
you know, a win for me.
Yeah, and I kind of felt similarly about this week's episode of Hinamatsuri, which was already feels kind of tailor-made to my weird anime tastes. But, well, me and Marlon have been in sync on those things lately. But, yeah, it was a very good mix of the show's kind of, like, black humor and but still kind of heartwarming. And, yeah, some great characterization work. Like, they did a great job of, like, characterizing Hina and Nita, the main characters, so that you kind of understand why, you know, they belong together and, you know, not necessarily like the other girls or whatever. And it was just some great, you know, and it's all very subtle and like very, you know, show don't tell type of storytelling, which we always say is our favorite thing around here. So, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Marlon. I just, yeah, like you said, I really liked what they did with Hina. I just hope that there's like a little bit that we get to see of her growing, not just her like apologizing, but her actually behaving a little bit better. Cause you know, she got kicked out of Anzu's place and that's played for a pretty good laugh, but it is supposed to eventually show her growing, right? Or do you think that she's going to always kind of be terrible?
We don't have to get into the in-depth discussion on that right now, but I think there was a little bit of that in this episode, and you know, those things take time. So, and you know, part of why I love this series is, you know, I love comedies where everyone is a horrible person, and everyone in the show is a horrible person, except you still kind of like them. And
I mean, related to that is kind of why I think you're going to get some growth in Hina Matsuri, but also like I think the impression I have gotten from the past few episodes, I have not watched this week's episode yet, but the impression I have gotten from watching it so far is that these kind of anime black comedies, like hoping for like I think, you know, the characters will grow and change because there is some heart to that show, but I think hoping these characters are going to go through like dramatic changes is like hoping the characters in Osomatsu or Sabagebu would go through significant character growth, which, I don't know, to me, may be going in with the wrong expectations, but that's just the impression I get from the show.
I don't think there's going to be like a huge change, but kind of everyone finding a nice, comfortable space where everybody is happy by the end is probably what they're shooting for. But yeah, we'll get into more in-depth discussion with that next podcast on what we're catching up with all the airing shows. Just wanted to give a shout out because those two particular episodes, we're still kind of high off of those over the past 24 hours, and just wanted to shout that out. That hey, some good anime going this season.
Just one more shout out. I think it's really funny in the ending. So I didn't realize, like, you know, Hina was making the one guy float. And if you look in the ending, it has him parallaxing with the rest of the crew as it pans out. Very slightly, but you can notice it.
I'll have to go back and...
I thought that was a nice touch.
I'll have to go back and check that again. But yeah. All right. So let's get to the topic at hand. So like we mentioned, we're going to talk about how we're watching anime in 2018. And to start the discussion, I want to take everybody back to a magical time. All the way back to September 2016.
White sawdust.
So long ago. Trump wasn't president yet, so it feels like an eternity. but perhaps more importantly, at that point, Crunchyroll and Funimation, who were the years at that point, the main competitors for anime streaming outside of, well, I should say the U.S. because Funimation is for the U.S. They were the two main competitors as far as anime streaming goes, and they announced a partnership in which they would basically be sharing licenses, and each company would stick to what they do best. So Crunchyroll would continue to do the weekly simulcasts, subbed, and you know, getting them out on time and in, you know, decent quality, and Funimation would focus more on their dub work and the home releases. So,
right, the rise of the like simul dub, pretty much.
Yes,
which they've done like for a few shows.
Yeah,
but now will they simul dub like half the stuff every season?
Oh yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like fucking everything.
Yeah, so for that one magical season, we had we basically had like the perfect, at least from like the consumer point of view, the one service to rule them all, where you only had to pay for one streaming service and you could pretty much watch all the new shows, and it was great, and that lasted for 3 months. And from there, it was kind of all downhill. So we had a couple things happen pretty much starting that January in 2017. We had the Amazon throwing their hat in the ring with the ill-fated anime strike, which we'll talk about in a minute.
They got it. Mercy on its soul.
Yeah,
No. How about it just stays in hell where it belongs?
more like Ding Dong, the witch is dead.
So we'll talk about that in a second. We also had the rise of High Dive from the ashes of the anime network, which we'll talk about in a second. And then we also had Netflix, who has been dabbling with getting into anime with their, you know, quote unquote original tag for a while. But starting that January was the release of Little Witch Academia, and Netflix grabbing that, kind of being the first real, would you say mainstream anime? I don't know what term you would want to put on that, but something that something that the anime community would actually be interested in at that time, that a new show. So also
Daisuke was in there somewhere.
Well, Daisuke had died right around the time they shut down, right around the time Crunchyroll and Funny did their partnership. So that was like,
right.
So they were already out of the Yeah, they were never really a big player, and they were kind of out of the picture at that point anyway. So that was part of
people
the
people only ever went to it for like Bakemonogatari
Gundam.
And Gundam. Right?
They
had Sunrise in their pocket for a while, but so that was their death was kind of part of that short-lived anime utopia we had for a couple months. What I wanted to do is kind of like hit the points then, because we're from that point on is kind of where we're at now, where we have Amazon still around, we have High Dive, we have Netflix as you know the main competition to the Crunchyroll Funimation partnership. So we'll talk about Amazon and High Dive kind of briefly to get them out of the way, because while they're not as good as Crunchyroll, they're not bad. I mean, they're basically still kind of doing what Crunchyroll does, just not as good.
It's interesting. Yep. Like Amazon is great as a service, but like its business practices were terrible and
just increased the price of Prime like yesterday.
First of all, that's bullshit. On the other hand, that's how I got my new hard drive in like under 24 hours. Right.
But yeah,
so, you know.
Anime Strike was widely reviled for being.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we talking about the service itself or Anime Strike? Because Anime Strike itself, you know, the way it was sold is hot fucking garbage.
Yeah, let's give a quick final parting words to Anime Strike. So basically, what that was is
two seasons long. About
it was about a year.
Yeah,
I think
it was about
that
a
it
year.
Ran.
Jeez.
But The general idea is Amazon Prime Video wanted to introduce this concept of having channels where you would pay an extra amount of money for this extra channel where there'd be extra video content specific to whatever niche. So the two that they launched were, there was a Bollywood channel, I think, and there was Anime Strike, which is an anime focused channel that just came out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming at all. They're just like, yep, we're going to do this. We're going to license our own shows. And the kicker was that they were going to make you pay an extra $5 on top of your Amazon Prime subscription, which you could not buy individually. You had to have Amazon Prime.
Which is like $100 a year.
Well,
at the time it was.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, everybody universally hated that because that's just like double paywall.
It's bullshit.
So that, I mean, and apparently it did not work because they shut down Anime Strike within a year, and you know, good riddance. So that's kind of like a interesting blip on the radar here. But I think it's important to remember that they did attempt to do that. So, you know, that is, who knows what other, you know, if they could get away with it, they would. So,
yep.
As far as the current day Amazon anime situation, they are still licensing shows. And it's just part of their Amazon Prime Video service, which is the video itself is usually okay, but the all the surrounding stuff is terrible. Like, it's impossible to find things.
Right. Oh, so yeah. That tweet was going around a while back where it's like they wanted to watch the new show this week, and they could type the title into the search bar, and it would be the third or fourth result behind other shows.
Yes. So I want to talk about, so that was Wotakoi, which is airing this season, and I have a conspiracy theory about this. So
oh man, Amazon is poisoning our water.
Yes, the chemical trail of the sky are
to kill anime.
Yeah, so with Wotakoi, I was really mad about that because anime got the license, and when the day it was supposed to come out, it was available on Amazon UK and Amazon Canada, but it was nowhere to be found on Amazon USA. And so at first I thought that this is going to be like a Violet Evergarden situation where we're getting locked out or whatever. And
later.
we'll talk about that later, but the show did eventually show up like 2 or 3 days later. And that was the show that, Ira was just mentioned, where when you did search it, it was coming up like 3 or 4 searches down. And now if you search it, it comes up at the top. But I'm wondering if their search algorithm or whatever is so bad that they actually put the show out on time, but it was not showing up in any search engines until a couple days later, until the system figured out how to find it. Because at the time, when it first came out, you could do a search, but it would come up with the manga or whatever.
I don't know, because there was that After the Rain last season that was also Anime Strike, and I tried watching the first couple episodes to see if I would like it, and it was always a pain because there's apparently some Japanese movie named After the Rain that you like that is a result before that, and yeah, you have to look at it through Amazon's search bar. There's no particular movie search bar unless you like.
Right.
Go deep into to find it.
That's a problem. Yeah, I think that's a problem just with the Amazon Prime Video in general, because it's not just anime. Like, everything is impossible to find unless you really dig around for it. And that's probably the primary thing that I don't like about the current Prime service. You know, aside from the fact that I actually have to buy Prime in general, because I don't really use it that much other than for anime. But and they just don't have any I don't necessarily care about social media presence, but they leave it entirely up to the licensees to promote the shows and stuff. So I don't know when shows are coming out. I don't even know when licenses come out unless I see it on Anime News Network or something like that. Crunchyroll and other services are good at putting it on Twitter. Hey, we got this show and it's going to come out Thursday and it's going to be at 12:00. Watch it. And with Amazon, I got to do 3 Google searches to figure out, when it's airing. And then if they're even going to put it out on time to begin with, if anybody even knows when it's going to air.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's since they already have our money, they don't really care about how good the service is.
Right. I think on some level, what actually bothers me about services Amazon's anime service is it's not. I mean, ignoring the double paywall, which is no longer an issue, Amazon isn't actually doing anything to make itself a more compelling service for watching anime on. I guess what? Amazon's got more money than God, so that's probably the real reason, right?
Yeah.
But if it were me, Amazon's not really doing anything to convince me, you know, such and such anime is going to flourish and thrive and get the attention it deserves on this service, you know? Like, the only thing, you know, like Netflix that really has going for it is just gigantic mainstream appeal. But, you know, anime is and probably always will be a pretty niche medium. So if you're not going to even put in the work to promote it, like, what are they even getting out of it?
There's no... There's no added benefit to being part of Amazon, whereas, you know, Crunchyroll or even High Dive, you know, their sole focus is anime. So they're doing what they can to, you know, make the anime experience better.
And maybe there's just like one anime guy in the Amazon Video thing.
I can't imagine that, you know, if they can't even have somebody like on Twitter, you know, saying, hey, here's when the show's coming out. I mean, that's pretty...
Yeah, that's
true. Seems pretty bad. So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the service itself is okay, and I don't know. I mean, I guess there's something to be said for having competition in general, but I don't know. It's just not you know, not as good as, you know, some of the other options available. But
yeah. I don't know, even when Crunchyroll was the only game in town, like we were talking about, it's not like they started, you know, price hiking. It's
right.
A really reasonable service for the prime.
Right. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think Crunchyroll also recognized, which I think is maybe what some of the other services are still in the process of finding out right now, is, you know, let's be frank, you know, in the West, you know, anime fandoms is rooted in torrenting and piracy, right? It's rooted in...
Yeah.
Downloading,
copying tapes.
Yeah, back in the day, right? It was copying tapes. These days, it's downloading torrents. Like, anime fans as a whole are probably one of the fandoms that is most familiar with, you know, illicitly obtaining its material. You know, more so than.
I mean, I know I've known people who like have Crunchyroll subscriptions, but now got licensed by Amazon. High Dive, like, this will just grab a torrent for
that.
Yeah,
and I think Crunchyroll, you know, we're going to talk about that later, but, you know, because of Crunchyroll's specific origins, I think they recognized, you know, their customer base, who they're trying to sell their product to.
Right.
So that is why they also knew how to create a compelling and affordable product.
Right, yeah, anime fans will get their anime one way or the other, so...
Yep.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later on.
And
but yes, that is
we'll
a good point.
Definitely, High Dive tries to act like they know anime fans, or at the very least, like they are appealing to a very particular group of anime fans that
Sock,
have absolutely
right?
terrible taste in everything.
Yeah. So let's
Yellow Subs over here.
Let's talk about High Dive. Because High Dive was just kind of seems like it came out of nowhere, but in fact, it basically is the zombie version of the Anime Network. So, the anime network was kind of like the insignificant third wheel in the streaming battle over the past couple of years. So you had Crunchyroll and Funimation at the top, and then every now and then, like a show or two would go to the Anime Network,
like Sentai Productions.
Yes, so they were basically like the streaming service in bed with Sentai. And for a while, they were licensing a couple shows, and they kind of disappeared for like a year or two. And as it turned out, it seems like they probably weren't doing very well because they decided to sell off all of their streaming rights. So they sold it to this company, High Dive. So it has the same catalog as the Anime Network, but it's a completely new website, new service. And yeah, as Marlon said, it feels like a corporate entity trying to appeal to thinking they know what anime fans like and trying to appeal to them.
The what up, fellow teens of anime streaming services?
Yes, yes.
Konnichiwa,
yes,
fellow
exactly
otaku.
Insert the...
Yes. Yeah. We need to make that.
But yeah, so like they have like this, you know, all the branding and everything feels like it's like laser focused toward like, you know, 17 to 19 year old kids, and they're like what's their catchphrase? It's like eat binge something. I forget. Something with binge watching.
Eat
binge.
Oh God.
Yeah, they very much want to tell people to binge watch.
The Anime Network used to have commercials on like Blu-ray discs that Sentai put out. You remember those, right?
Oh, those were great.
Oh my God.
quote unquote great.
Where like a guy would be at a bus stop and then like some anime like person in cosplay would come up to
like neon Comic Sans flash across the screen and shit.
Yeah.
Oh man. The other day when my power was out, my internet was out, I was telling you guys I popped in my Evangelion Platinum Collection for a couple episodes. And they had this is completely off track, but I just want to say it. They had like the old like 80V, 80R, whatever. I can't remember now. But it was like, what is anime? I don't know if you guys remember those. And they're like, it's yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's not for kids and stuff like that. But yeah. Anyway, those old bumpers were fun. What were we talking about? High Dive. Yes. Yeah. So High Dive, again, the actual streaming itself is generally pretty competent. They did give you the option to turn off the yellow subs and turn them white if you want now. So that's
nice.
Already an improvement from the Anime Network. But
good price, yeah, too.
Yeah, like the price is good for now. Right now, I think they're extended the offer. You can lock in at $3.99 a month, which is like dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. And they actually picked up quite a few shows this season. Most notably the Tada Never Falls in Love, which is actually a bad show, but it was notable.
Well,
they're okay. My main complaint is that they're hard subbed, but I feel like that's a complaint that only comes from anime bloggers who need to take screenshots. So, and they did not have
a specific problem.
Yeah, they did not have an app when they launched, which was a huge deal, and they do now. So that kind of covers that. So, they're not really that bad. They're just not as good of a service. Some of the actual subtitles have been questionable as well.
Yeah,
I
tried to cancel. Well, I did cancel at one point because I was watching a show and it ended. And they make you go through like three different pages of like, why are you leaving? Please don't leave, bro. We'll give you a deal. And I was like, this just makes me want to leave even more.
Basically every company.
That's literally every company in the world.
Like I've unsubscribed from Funimation like four times now. And every time it's just like, do you want to fill out a survey? No? Okay. And sometimes I'm like, ah, sure, I'll fill out a survey. But they don't make you do it.
Yeah. So they are actually – they seem to be continuing the whole partnership thing with Sentai. And they have started adding some dubs, which historically the Sentai dubs are pretty inferior to the Funimation work. And that seems to be holding true. So I think they're trying to position themselves as like a direct competitor to the Crunchyroll Funimation setup. And they're okay, but they're not as good.
It's like Pepsi versus Coke.
No, it's not even that, because at least like Pepsi and Coke are like Pepsi is at least a competitive alternate, like viable brand. High Dive.
It's like RC Cola.
Like the RC Cola.
Like Jell, you've been talking real nice about High Dive, and I've mostly kept my mouth shut because, like, dog, High Dive,
hey,
nobody
it's
really
shit
about
terrible.
High Dive. Like, it's not even close.
Nah.
Like, Crunchyroll and Funny, like, competing, like, that felt kind of like, oh, here are the two big dogs in the park. High Dive was
Chihuahua in the corner.
High Dive's not even – no, High Dive's not even in the same county. Like,
it's like the little corgi on the side that thinks
like,
it can take
him. I don't even know. Like, what's High Dive even airing this season? I literally have no clue. Like, you said Tada falls in or doesn't fall in love. Like, I only know that because you just said it like 30 seconds ago. I don't.
Okay, the one thing I did add recently was the original Legend of Galactic Heroes OVA.
Okay, yes. That is good, yes.
They did get that Land of the Lustrous that
all
everyone
right.
seemed to be in love with a couple of last
that
season.
Was the thing.
Or two seasons ago.
They, like I said, they do have they do also have the Anime Network catalog, so there's a lot of old stuff.
Because you really want to watch Sengoku collection.
No, no, there's a lot of old shows in there too. So,
I think Amagami SS.
No,
is
I mean,
in there.
I mean like really old, like pre, you know, 2005 okay. type of stuff. So
well, the yellow subs make a lot more sense.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, I guess if there is one, you know, I guess, and again, G says I'm hyping them up. I'm really just kind of playing devil's advocate here. I mean, it's not really that good of a service, but, you know, they do have probably an older back catalog than Crunchyroll does. Maybe not Funimation. But yeah, that's,
yeah. Anything looks good compared to Netflix.
Yes. So they're I think they're okay, but they're just not as good as Crunchyroll. And they are better, however, than what Netflix has been doing over the past couple of years, which is really the meat of the discussion that we wanted to have today, because Netflix has been.
Netflix is killing anime. Click here for 6 reasons.
Reason number 4 may shock you. Netflix has tried a lot of different ways to get that anime money over the past, like maybe by now, maybe 3 or 4 years. I just want to say before we start, Netflix is probably responsible for me getting back into anime as an adult. If we go back to the old days when Netflix was the mail-in disc service.
they got the Spider Riders DVDs.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so if I wanted to get Spider Riders, I could go on the website and order that. But at the time, that gave this like unprecedented level of access to anime that we never had before, to where, you know, I could watch a show without having to go buy, you know, 2 episodes for $30 sight unseen. And it was amazing, you know, if we're going back to, you know, 2002, 2003 or something like that for, you know, the time. And so I have fond memories of Netflix and anime, and anime has always been on Netflix. So it's not like it's like a new thing.
Sure.
It's just that it was always put on there the same way any other TV show or movie would be.
Yeah. Even before they started doing the stuff that we're about to talk about, like they would put on shows that got subbed elsewhere, you know,
right?
Like released on Crunchyroll, and now it's out. We'll put it on Netflix, like, you know, 2 years later or whatever,
right?
Which is so fine,
right? So that was just, you know, part of their normal, you know, business, the way they would handle any other show. But they decided at some point that they wanted to get in on this anime money and wanted to bring anime under their.
Anime money.
I don't know.
I don't know if you've seen how much that Legend of Galactic Heroes box set is.
Yeah, and like all 8 of the people who are going to buy it, you know.
Yeah, that's enough to probably.
Yeah, that's a lot of months.
At that price
months
tag,
of Netflix.
Yeah, probably.
So they wanted to bring anime under their, you know, Netflix original quote unquote tag, and they've tried a couple different ways. So just to run through some of the ones leading up to, you know, where we're at now, you know, they started by slapping the original, just grabbing a show and putting it on Netflix and slapping the original tag on it. So like,
that drives me insane.
So like the most notable example, I think, was like the Seven Deadly Sins, where they just didn't do anything other than just put it on Netflix and decided to call it a Netflix original.
Bunch of other stuff.
Is that like a technical ruling where because it doesn't air on any other American network or something, they can, bare technicality,
I mean,
claim
honestly,
it's an original?
They can do whatever they want. I don't think that there's a law against doing
no,
that.
No, I'm not saying like legally. I just mean like from like
the licensing agreement.
Yeah, like a bare technical, you know, ruling on it, I guess. But
I don't know if we'll ever know the answer for sure, but I'm assuming that maybe it was part of the contract of like, hey, we'll put your thing on Netflix if you let us call it an original in the licensing contract. But
yeah, I guess what I mean is, from a marketing standpoint, is it like barely technically true or something?
Probably, yeah. It's the same way that I claim that, you know, this is the best anime podcast. Can you really?
No, I think our claim is actually a lot more solid than Netflix's. So
yeah,
yeah.
So, kind of taking that a step further, one of the, you know, they started dabbling in doing early 90s dub practices, localization practices. So like most notably taking the Precure series, taking an old Precure series and rebranding it as Glitter Force.
Wasn't Saban involved with that?
Yeah, it sounds like.
Again,
yeah.
Like, so is this like the Robotech of Magical Girl shows, or what is this?
But
I guess.
With all of that, though, it was kind of like grabbing old content and just like slapping a name on it or, you know, doing something with it. It wasn't until they got their deal with Polygon Pictures that they started getting into like new shows. So Polygon Pictures, primarily known, or not primarily, they are 3D anime. So Netflix,
fully
3D. So right. they struck a deal for Aijin and eventually Knights of Sidonia are the notable ones.
I think ID0 also was one of these. All 3D,
I don't know if anybody actually remembers ID0, but so
I don't.
This kind of set the precedent of, you know, Netflix announced, oh, they're going to actually pick up a show that hasn't aired yet. I wonder what they're going to do with it. And as it turned out, their strategy was to not air it and wait until the series was complete and release it like 6 months later. With the full dub and everything, but you know,
the binge watch model,
how no one watches
right.
anime.
So I guess the thing is because all of the like live action Netflix produced shows like Jessica Jones and Daredevil and whatever, they release all once and everyone binge watches, and then they say, oh well, the data says everyone loves to binge watch because we put everything out on the same day and everyone binge watches it. So I guess we'll just release all the anime also on the same day so people can binge watch their cartoons.
Right. And like the problem with that is that it runs totally counter to how anime is produced. Like in the West, like live action series are generally fully filmed beforehand. So I don't love the binge model, but I totally understand where Netflix is coming from. Like, hey, we already produced this entire season of TV. We might as well release it all at once. Like the only reason why we release it, you know, serially week from week is just because that's tradition. But the problem is anime is not made in one go. Like, people are still working on the anime as it's airing. I mean, I think we can all remember infamously, or I guess famously, because the final episode, right, turned out pretty good, is the Kill la Kill final episode where Trigger was posting on Twitter about how they were literally hours away from the TV broadcast when they finished the episode and like sent it to the broadcast company.
Right. Like a real Shiro Mako kind of thing.
You'd get it in like old Dragon Ball Z episodes where the stuff in the next episode preview changed by the time the next episode actually aired.
Yeah. Because like, we're not saying that they make the whole episode in that week, but the way it works is that they do a staggered production. So, you know, by the time, you know, when you're on episode one, like,
they might be working on episode like 10 or something.
Exactly. And they might still be, you know, making the final touches on 5 or 6, you know, it's a staggered process. And so that runs totally counter to the Netflix model. So I think that is actually why it makes their decision to try and release anime in the same binge model as their live action stuff, so kind of misguided.
Yeah, can I take a second to say the binge model sucks? like you know,
I'm not going to get into that too much.
You sink like an entire weekend, which you might not have, in order to keep up with something, and then if you don't do it that weekend, then everyone's like, "Oh, did you catch the entire season of a show?" And like, no, I didn't have 6 hours to burn, and it's not like an episode at a time or, oh, I can catch up the next day, you know?
I mean, as somebody who has watched some of those Netflix, you know, originals, I'm a little bit more ambivalent on that. I don't think the binge model works for anime just because of how it's produced. Like, let's not get into this too much because then we're just talking about Netflix itself instead of, you know, anime on Netflix. But I certainly get the appeal because, you know, look, as somebody who has watched some of those shows, sometimes it's just easy to watch like three episodes in a row, you know?
Yeah,
sure.
Like sometimes you do have that time, and that's just how you're going to use it, I guess.
Just anime is, at least in my mind, a very much a week-to-week sort of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, the difference is that there is actually an airing episode that's
right.
just not it's
yeah,
just not
here.
Airing on American television, but the episode exists. So like
right.
compared to the live action shows, like there's no other, like you can't watch the, you know,
see all the Japanese speaking people on my Twitter timeline talking about the new episode of Fate Apocrypha or whatever.
Right.
I'm like, well, I'm plumb out of luck because Netflix won't release this for another 3 months. 6 months.
Yeah.
You know.
It's, right. It's really, and we'll talk about the community aspect
right.
in a bit here, because I think that's important. Let's just keep catching up here with where we're at with Netflix now, because so they did the deal with Polygon Pictures, and that was just kind of like, it kind of raised an eyebrow at how they handled a new show, but it was also like, all right, that's some weird 3D thing that nobody really cares about. It seemed like a bit of an anomaly. I guess people kind of cared about Knights of Cydonia, but
I cared a lot about Knights of Cydonia before I found out it was an all 3D production. We don't need to get into it here,
right?
But Knights of Cydonia was a really, well, okay, the ending is fucking dog shit, but the manga up till the ending was a pretty rad, like weird, interesting, you know, mecha anime with like some real, like we're gonna move past this real quick, I promise. but you know, the thing is that like the appeal of Knights of Cydonia, like other than the kind of interesting premise, was Tsutomu Nihei, the author's like really, like weird, gross, grotesque alien designs that were, you know, these really strange organic creatures that could like mutate and adapt and shit. And like, you know, turns out CG is a terrible way to portray really weird organic aliens, because it just makes them look super stiff and plasticky.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking of the Parasite, the live action trailer.
Oh man, yeah.
That's what I'm picturing in my head right now, because yeah, that totally wouldn't work.
Yeah, no, so like, I think the point is that,
anyways, let's move on.
No, but that's a good point, in that I don't think anybody was like super disappointed that this kind of weird 3D studio was in bed with Netflix. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like we were missing out on much.
No.
It wasn't until like we mentioned earlier, they announced that they got the license for Little Witch Academia. And this was definitely something that struck more at the heart of the anime community, because obviously it, you know, we already liked Little Witch Academia. We were hot off the heels of, you know, Enchanted Parade, which is one of the best.
They had put the OVAs on Netflix.
Yeah, they had put the OVAs on Netflix, and you know, we all loved Enchanted Parade. That was like one of the best animated things in the past couple of years. And
Base Trigger saving anime every year.
So,
Trigger coming back to save anime.
So this was something that like the anime community was actually looking forward to, and that blogs like us were going to be covering in their seasonal coverage. And once Netflix announced getting it, we were all like, oh, are they going to do the same thing where they hold on to it for 6 months? And sure enough, you know,
that's what
happened.
That's totally what they did.
And from that point on, they've grabbed other shows in similar fashion. So like Ira mentioned, like Fate Apocrypha, Kakagurui, you know, rest in peace, Kakagurui, because nobody... That show deserved better. It was a pretty good show, and nobody cared about it because they held on to it for that. Actually, I think took 9 months to get out.
Jeez.
Oh wow.
Right, and then there was all the like cop find replace subs.
Oh yeah, the subs were awful.
Yeah,
so
right.
Yeah,
like don't call me Yukio, call me Yukio, because like
right.
they weren't keeping names straight. They were only using the first name every time.
Yeah, because they had called. Like machine translated it basically practically.
Right. And like I think that that strikes at the heart of the problem of like, I mean, not just how Netflix decides to air the anime they license, but also they're not even doing that good of a job of it. Like if they said, hey, we gotta hold on to Little Witch Academia or Kakagurui or whatever for 6 months because we're going to do some really good-ass subs, which isn't even that compelling because most other streaming sites already do pretty decent subs. But I don't know if they were going to like...
They're going to say, like, we're waiting for the, like, Blu-ray touch-ups.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if they said, yeah, like, they said they were waiting for, you know, yeah, the Blu-ray touch-ups to, you know, get rid of, like, the weird, like, dark filter that happens on anime anytime something cool happens. Like, I could understand. I'd be like, okay, like, that's kind of reasonable. Like, I could at least see myself, like, waiting for the Netflix, you know, version of something, or not really. I would never wait for the Netflix version, but I could see myself checking out the Netflix version of an anime they're airing if they like actually put in the work and like really made it the definitive way to watch an anime, you know, just 6 months later. But they don't even do that.
Yeah, it's like what are we even waiting for? It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
But yeah, and
right.
So, like I mentioned, they grabbed a couple more shows, and you know that continues to this day. And I wanted to mention the most probably the most infuriating of all was the Violet Evergarden situation. And
that was just
we'll never know the, you know, Netflix will ever say the exact reason they do the things they do, but we can kind of speculate different justifications for, you know, hang on to the show, like, you know, wanting to have the dub done or whatever, fine. But in the case of Violet Evergarden, they simulcast the show. So they had the episode out on time every week. Amazingly, they had the dub simulcast, which I think that's kind of a special case because I think they've been working on Violet Evergarden for a really long time and they clearly put a lot of money into it. That sounds great. The problem was they only aired the simulcast everywhere but the United States. So, you know, Europe and Canada and everywhere outside of the United States got Violet Evergarden on time with subs and dubs every week, but not here in America. And that is infuriating because that's clearly – then it's not even a practical thing. That's just like pure business decision. And
– Oh, yeah.
That was kind of like the last straw to where it's like, all right, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe. Like you were talking about conspiracy theories. Like, I gotta be honest, your high dive conspiracy, whatever. That was some like kind of weak shit. Let me tell you the real, actual fucking conspiracy that is going on. All right. Here's the thing: Netflix is a big company that makes a lot of fucking money. Crunchyroll and Funimation are not that big. My conspiracy theory and my underlying fear is that Netflix is trying to fight a war of attrition, and it's a war of attrition they know they can eventually win.
Like eventually edge out.
Right. Like even if they don't have the best service, even if they don't have the best, you know, value, the best quality of stream or translation, like they know they can just keep doing this, and it's not going to cost them anything. Like considering how big Netflix is, considering Netflix funds, you know, the big Marvel TV productions and stuff. The anime part of Netflix is a drop in the bucket. Like, they can keep doing this for years or decades, and it would mean nothing to them. But if they just keep this up, you know, I think their hope is eventually it will bleed out Crunchyroll and to a lesser extent Funimation. And so I personally think that is actually – like the real long-term goal.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate because they can throw more money at getting the licenses and or being part
part
of the production, which I think was the case with a lot of the shows where they were paying for the production to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're probably spot on, G. And again, we'll never know because Netflix will ever say, of course, exactly what their plan is. So we can only speculate. But yeah.
I mean, I'm speculating this, but also, quite frankly, I don't think it'll work because let's say Netflix actually does kill Crunchyroll and Funimation and all anime airs on Netflix. Then we'll all just go back to the pirating again. So, you know,
the Wild West will return.
anime finds a way. Yes, we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the Violet Evergarden situation, I just wanted to mention because up to that point, there have actually been Netflix apologists. Rather obnoxiously, and
they haven't been dragged into the street and savagely beaten yet.
I don't know if I would necessarily call them apologists, but people trying to like justify the reasons why, from a business point of view, Netflix does what they do.
Oh, you mean like, hey, Netflix is funding anime, like that should be good for the industry.
Yeah,
there's some of that.
I just want to reference specifically, and I don't want to just make fun of Anime News Network because that's just like everybody does that, but. I don't necessarily think that's always fair, but there was one particular mailbag post thing. They have like their question and answer thing they do every now and then. And yeah,
answer man,
and it was one is like, why does Netflix not release the simulcast or whatever? And it was I'll probably link it in the show notes if I can dig it up. But it was a very smug response to the effect of like, oh, we've been spoiled by all these simulcasts and, you know, it's not really that bad. And, you know, Netflix,
hey, fuck off of that shit.
And Netflix hangs on to these things so that they can have the dub ready and have everything ready so that they can make one big marketing push and get the most views out of it. And, you know,
and when,
right.
And
I was, part, but yeah, that's
ain't nobody talking about
miles to the video store to pick up my VHS through the snow.
Yeah.
And I had to watch, mirrored
watch three episodes
videos the size of postage stamps on YouTube. cut into three parts with Naruto spelled with a U to avoid the YouTube algorithm.
And Jail Connection.
Yeah. And let me tell you, as someone who is almost guaranteed older than the person that wrote that post, there's no reason to like be nostalgic for that. Like, you can be nostalgic in the sense of, oh, it was, you know, that's what we had at the time, and those were fun times because I was watching anime. But like, the actual method of delivery is such a huge step backwards. So like, the whole concept, I get if you want to argue about why, from a business point of view, Netflix does what they do. And that personally went out the window with the Violet Evergarden thing, because clearly they're capable of doing the simulcast, capable and willing.
They're just choosing not to.
So that goes out the window that way. But even just like, there's no objective argument that it is better than what we've had. And it's not like simulcasts are like this hot new technology. Like, Crunchyroll has been doing simulcasts for almost 10 years. It's like the industry standard. That's how we watch anime in this day and age. And so to not have a simulcast is a step backwards. There's like no room for argument on that. And like, it just infuriates me that people even like try to defend, you know, at least from a consumer point of view, why Netflix would, you know, what they're doing is positive. But
yeah, to me that just feels like a really like weird myopic argument to make, because at least the arguments of like, oh, Netflix is funding these productions, like that's good because anime is an inherently broken and fucked industry, so maybe, you know, one production getting funded by a Western company could make a difference. Like, that argument isn't necessarily true either. There are a lot of flaws to that one as well, but I can at least understand where people are coming from with that one.
There have been a few like legitimately Netflix original anime type stuff.
Yeah, and so that they have done part of their, you know, initiative has been creating more like anime inspired content, like the
was like Devilman Crybaby as well.
I think like Devilman Crybaby is like maybe the one exception, right, where it was actually totally funded and produced by Netflix.
Yes.
Like the director Masaki Yuasa, I think, has gone in interviews and said like, because Netflix funded him, he was able to do whatever he wanted without worries of censorship. So
Right.
You know, there are definitely those cases out there, but it seems like they're more the exception than the rule.
Right. Yeah. Why isn't that the norm? Like, if that's how Netflix likes to do things, you know, everyone likes that they they released Devilman all at once and everyone could get it at the same time.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. If I could almost forgive Netflix's, like, publishing model if they were just funding tons of really weird shit like Devilman Crybaby. Like, if Netflix was funding a space dandy every season, you know, then I'd be like, okay, fine. Like, we make a deal with the devil and the devil gives us really weird, cool anime every season. But that's not even the case, so.
So they're making Western stuff and putting it under an anime category.
Yeah, they did make the Castlevania one-off.
Right.
Yeah, we want to
defend Castlevania because that was a project from like 2005 that took various forms, let's say, and got stuck in development hell in every single one. And so at some point, Netflix stepped in to make that, and like based on what I can tell, these like scripts and stuff are pretty much the original scripts from like 2005. So that wouldn't have existed if Netflix hadn't done it, but it ain't anime.
I think what we were saying that, you know, those are like, if they're making actual original content, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's
sure.
And of course, on the flip side, you get something like Neo Yokio, which is like
that was dumb.
The Jaden Smith self-insert fan fiction
that
somehow
one of these
got
days. Just
no, I didn't want to give them the numbers. But I mean, good or bad, if they want to make their own stuff, I mean, that's perfectly fine. I think the key issue that we've kind of pointed out, like Marlon said, you know, with Devilman, is like everybody had access to it. It's having one group of people having access to it and another group not having access that really, I think, ultimately is the core issue, because, you know, part of how we watch anime is this, you know, community aspect.
Everybody watches it all.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
Like,
and, you know, We're going to have people on Twitter talking about it. We're going to have, regardless of how they watched it, whether legally or otherwise,
right.
People are going to be talking about it.
Well,
let's not name names.
But I think you're right. You're right though, that anime at its core, like the community, the anime, like fan community at its core, at least in the West, has always been based around the week-to-week discussion of a show from episode to episode. You know, like, you have a week for fans to discuss.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Like, it gives fans a time to internalize the episode, discuss theories or whatever, like, argue or complain about the developments of the story, whatever it is. Like,
put together their infographics about shit in the background.
Right, and, like, it affects, like, the impact of events. Like, you know, I think that, like, when you create, like, I think when you create, you know, a show for that binge model, there's a certain type of pacing and a certain type of narrative development that you need to adapt to make it work. But the problem with like most anime is not designed for that. So like, you know, anime is based around big tentpole moments, you know, like the big climax in episode 6, or like, you know, like the big reveal in episode 15, or whatever it is, you know, like anime is built around that, and the communities are built around those moments. You know, it is built around, you know, people, you know it is built around, for example, like in 2000, you know, fucking 2008, when episode 8 of Gurren Lagann aired, and like of the 40 threads on 4chan, I think 38 of them were about that episode. You know, like, it's that kind of, you know, it is that kind of groundswell of right. of people talking about it, and that's what gets people's attention, you know. Like, because not everybody watches anime day one, right? Like, a lot of people,
right?
You know, because so much anime is airing all the time, you're not going to catch all of it. But if people are all of a sudden being like, "Holy fucking shit!"
Yeah, suddenly everyone talks about like Madoka episode 3,
right,
or
like,
whatever.
Yeah, that was me. You know? Like, I was like, "What?"
Everyone jumps in,
right,
then
exactly. And you don't really get that if, you know, you air it all at once. You know, like it's like what we talked about with Devilman a few weeks back, right? like, Devilman Crybaby is the kind of show that should have been talked about the whole season. Like, episode to episode, like, each individual episode deserved a week's worth of, you know...
Discourse.
The discourse, yes, the discourse. You know, the capital D discourse. But you don't get that when it all, you know, airs all right at once. Instead, you have people, like, feverishly talking about it...
For a week.
You know, for a week or two at best, and then it just falls off the face of the planet.
Yeah, and I have to wonder how important... is that, I guess, community aspect from a business standpoint then? Like, how much of that is translating to...
Oh, it probably doesn't mean jack shit. Like, that's...
like, are we...
Like I said all that,
are we
like,
overestimating...
Financially...
Like, are we overestimating the value of that from a business point?
Oh, totally.
Unfortunately, you're probably right. And again, we'll never know because Netflix will never give us the numbers, but...
I mean, as long as they keep releasing stuff for a binge model, then they can keep claiming that people love binging.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, the fact that they continue to do it is probably an indication that it's at least somewhat successful to a certain degree.
I don't want to argue disingenuously here. Sure. I bet there are a lot of people out there who genuinely do enjoy watching it like this, you know? Like, it's not for me, but I totally can get the idea of, like, you know, for example, I'm watching Zeta Gundam right now, and the idea of having to watch that one episode at a time for 52 weeks or whatever, like, that's a long-ass investment, man. I don't – even if it's the same amount of cumulative time, I also don't have that kind of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to watch it in chunks, and so
– right.
I don't want to necessarily say, oh, everybody hates the binge model. I think it's just, you know, we specifically
– yeah.
It doesn't work for what we want from the media we consume.
Yeah, I do want to make sure we're not getting too much in a bubble of, like, you know, we watch anime every week, we write about anime every week, like, we're, like, really in the thick of it, and there's certainly... Yes, so there are certainly... that is certainly not the case for probably the majority, I'm sure. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that... you know, from a business point of view, that that's not important. And you get people, big companies like Netflix that can just ignore that. And it's kind of sad because, you know, there is a long history of that sort of, you know, community. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, anime always finds a way. Like, there's always going to be people that are, you know, dedicated to making sure there's a way to watch it. And I don't think you get that in any other, like, as you know, if you try to go dig into, you know, J dramas or K dramas, there's not nearly as much of a, at least I'm not super deep in that world, but in my brief amount of research, you know, you're not going to be able to find subs all the time.
You don't have three subgroups fighting over who gets,
you know,
the sub.
It's a very unique, situation that, unfortunately, you know, a big company like Netflix can afford to just ignore, and that's part of the problem. But yeah, so
at the same time, they're keeping Essentia in business. Well, not that they have a business, but they're basically the only reason why Essentia is still around.
I mean, that's a thing, though. They are
Fans of Wild West returned,
but,
because,
like, that's
of Netflix.
The problem. Like, arguably, the fan sub situation is even worse now in 2018 than it was in, like, 2005, because, you know, back then, when fan subbing was the norm, like, fan sub groups would gear up for it. They would prepare. They would, you know, bring on manpower or volunteers. You know, people...
Now it's, like, 3 days after the first episode airs, and we discover, oh, it's Netflix, nobody can watch this show... And people have to, like, cobble together,
like,
oh shit, no, I guess we're going to do this,
like,
show now, guys.
Like, even Essentia was basically that. Like, Essentia was basically just, you know, cobbled together to sub. I don't remember which show they banded together to sub, and they just decided to stick together afterwards. But, like, you know, that's a thing, right? Like, now in 2018, if an anime shows up and there's, you know, no available official sub, then you're just sitting around waiting for, you know, a bunch of random people on the internet to get together and put it together. Like, you know, in a weird way, like, even though, you know, you had to deal with all the bullshit fan sub drama back in the day, at least people were you know, announcing and preparing ahead of time, like, hey, we're going to be subbing, you know, these 3, 4, 5 shows next season, you know, so you at least had the you at least had expectations in place.
So while we're talking about fan subbing, let's get to the big elephant in the room type questions here then. You know, let me preface the discussion by saying, you know, I don't want to tell anybody what they should or shouldn't do per se. And, you know, we're not gonna, you know, everybody's got their own conscience that they have to live with. But for me personally, you know, I like to put my money where my mouth is. I have a Crunchyroll subscription. I have High Dive. I have Amazon. I have Netflix. So, you know, I also work full time and have a steady income. So, you know, for me, I feel like I can't justify not paying for the things for those things if they are available.
Right.
The problem is, what do you do when things are not available? You know, I think I said on a previous podcast, if I wanted to pay $1,000 per episode to watch Violet Evergarden legally on Netflix in the United States without some other means, I did not have that option. Like, there was, it could be $1,000,000. And, you know, what do you do then? I mean, is it okay then to just go ahead and find other ways to watch it? And, you know, I feel like if you're going to be, you know, I think Zig mentioned on the last podcast, like, if I'm paying for the service anyway, I don't know. Is it right or wrong? That's a question that people have to answer. I mean, it's definitely going to be available because somebody is going to fan sub it one way or the other. So, you know, then it just leaving it entirely up to the person to decide is going to be.
So I do have kind of an anecdote about this where I went to Trigger's panel at Anime Expo and they were talking about Little Witch Academia, which had been airing for some time, but had not yet been placed on Netflix.
Right.
And they know the score. Everyone in that room knew the score, that people were watching fan subs, but they were saying they don't like the check they'd get from Netflix depended on how many people watched it on Netflix, right? So they said, hey, everyone, make sure you go watch it on Netflix as well. But because of the whole binge watch model, like how many people actually, you know, went through that whole show on Netflix.
I mean, anecdotally, I'll tell you, right, I don't know fucking anybody who watched Little Witch Academia on Netflix.
How many months after everyone was done with Little Witch Academia?
I'll say in my case, I actually just turned it on in the background one day and let it run. But I don't think,
yeah. You
know, it shouldn't be up to us to be that conscientious about it. Like, I don't think that's the majority of people.
I just don't get why they don't allow it. Like, sure, maybe you just let people know when it's all together for them to binge watch it, but why not let people have the option while they can to just watch it week by week?
Why can't they just do
the problem with this question is that it shouldn't be a question in the first place, right?
Right, because I think at its core, like, it's purely an ideological thing. Like, Netflix is a proponent of the binge watch model. Like, to air anything else differently is in some ways an admittance of weakness or recognizing that the model is not in fact, you know, perfect and infallible. So and again, like, there are just not enough people, like, certainly not enough anime fans who are going to matter enough in their checkbooks to make them reconsider. So
I think Iroh touched on a good point with that Trigger anecdote, with them kind of recognizing that people, that fan subbing is a thing and people are going to watch the show regardless. I'm not going to say that nobody has ever made money off of fan subbing or always has the best intentions, but, you know, it's
this is a free fan sub.
Yeah, it's more part of the. Sorry. I feel with fan subbing, it feels like it's kind of part of the. It's coming more from a passion for the sharing the
it's like a culture aspect or like a community aspect of American anime.
Like, it's different. It's different than, say, so, like, I have this guy that shows up in my parking lot every now and then that sells DVDs out of the back of his car.
Right.
True story.
You really do live in a bad neighborhood.
So that sounds like New York.
This dude is basically just trying to turn a quick buck off of, you know, however he got these movies. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, that's the only way I've ever seen Paranoia Agent on DVD.
Yeah, whereas with fan subbing, you know,
every fan sub in between like 1999 and 2009 said this is a free fan sub, not for sale or rent.
Right, and you know, that's not just like
That's what Miami Mike did. He sold someone else's fan sub.
We know what you did, Miami Mike. So like that just. And then again, I'm not trying to necessarily justify one way or the other. Everyone can come to their own conclusions, but it's coming from a different place. And it's not just like they can just take the video and slap it up on the internet. Like there's a lot, many hours of work that have to go into, you know, translating and timing. And
totally. I mean, you need typesetters, you need translators, you need people to it turns out timing subs is actually kind of a big deal and a tedious work, because if you do it poorly, everyone's going to fucking call you out on it. So
yeah, and I mean that's even going back to, you know, when people were doing it on VHS. And I don't know if you guys have ever tried to edit like video pre-computer age.
Oh no!
But
definitely,
you know, long story, but I have played around with that before, and it's ridiculous. People would have to put in dozens of hours to like just get like one episode out. But you know, that's coming from, I feel like, a place of love. And I don't know if that necessarily justifies, you know, again, everyone can draw their own conclusion, but it's different than just stealing is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And you know, I think, acknowledging that passion is a much smarter business practice in the long run, especially if you look at, you know, a lot of people may not know how Crunchyroll got started. Crunchyroll was basically a fan sub website, and rather than shut them down at some point, this Japanese company amazingly had the foresight to say, well, rather than fighting these guys, let's buy them and make them legit. And,
oh, is that the story? I guess I had always assumed Crunchyroll was the one who approached them, but
No, it was because
their founder is Japanese, isn't he?
Yeah, there was a Japanese like investment company or something like that.
Huh. All right, I guess it's because of my longstanding like assumptions about how Japanese businesses are run.
Right, that's why I said it's amazing, because usually they're not that forward thinking.
Right, I still think to the days of like Square Enix not trusting video game websites because they thought sites like GameSpot. Yeah. Were like secretly selling torrents on their forums or something.
Right. Not that I want to make broad generalizations about Japanese companies, but that it, as far as like in the space of video games and anime, they're usually very conservative. And you know, their instinct is to shut those kinds of things down and not embrace them. But that is what happened. And Crunchyroll has become, you know, a massive success. You can have it both ways, where you're making money and you are also, you know, pleasing your fan base and, you know, growing your fan base, as opposed to, you know, Netflix method, where it feels much more short-sighted. And, you know, maybe they will win, the war of attrition to a certain degree over the years. Who knows? But it just kind of trying to squeeze
in an ideal world, I wouldn't mind, like, if Netflix aired stuff properly and whatnot. Like,
I mean, if Netflix was just another competitor, then so be it. May the best man win.
In the West, they're like the most widespread video streaming service. Totally. Like,
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Your anime being on Netflix is the closest in these days is the closest it'll be to like when we were young, when it was airing on television. Weekday television. Right. Like,
you can say Toonami.
Yes, Toonami.
I know you didn't have Toonami as a kid, but the rest of us
did. Eventually. The point is, like, I would like more anime to be on Netflix just so it reaches more people, but I don't want it to reach more people at the cost of, you know, the existing fan base.
Right. I mean, the thing is, in many ways, I actually even wonder, you know, despite all that conspiracy talk I was saying before, I actually am genuinely curious about what Netflix's final aim is, because realistically, they're not probably actually aiming to get Crunchyroll's consumer base, right? Because if they're trying to win over like more hardcore quote unquote anime fans, like those are the kind of people who have already decided I'm going to support Crunchyroll or I'm going to torrent. Like that's kind of it, right? So then like you're not going to really win over those people. And then
what is gained?
Right. And I guess for me it's like, is it trying to get more mainstream people into anime? Because I can't see that also being a particularly viable market. Like, I think anybody, let's be honest, anybody who wanted a Netflix subscription in 2018 probably has one, right? Like,
or is mooching off a friend who has?
Yeah, yeah. Like, is it just that, like, for example, is it just that the anime demographic is like the final, last possible demographic they haven't gotten yet that they're just trying to get because even, you know, a couple hundred thousand extra subscribers is going to make those metrics go up or something?
Yeah, I think that starts to get into the bigger questions that I have about Netflix sustainability. Because like you said, at some point you're going to reach a saturation point where there's just not going to be room for growth once everybody has a subscription. And, you know, obviously having more people watching your content raises the value of your service, but how are you, you know, how is that translating to real dollars? That's a whole, I think, other topic, I guess. To Iroh's point about, you know, Netflix kind of being the new
TV,
you know, it is a powerful platform that could be leveraged to, you know, yeah, to G's point, sure, it can, I think there's plenty of room for anime to move into the mainstream market more, but kind of like how it was in the early 2000s. Obviously, it's never going to be, I don't think it's ever going to be the biggest thing, but you know, there's always, you know, room to grow the audience, and I think we've seen that to a certain degree over the past, you know, recent years. And it would be great if Netflix could, you know, leverage their platform to do that. I just doesn't feel like that is their goal, or that, you know, if they even have, who even knows what their goal is, you know.
I mean, right, if that was their goal, I think they would be going about things much differently than the way they are now.
Right, then you'd probably see more, I think, outreach, like, through, you know, whether it's social media or whatever. You don't really see any of that going on. That's another thing that I think Crunchyroll does a good job of like, engaging the community directly. Yeah, they're just not doing anything to make the anime community better or improved, and instead opting to ignore them, and that's really unfortunate. So I guess going forward in the future, do we think things are going to change? Are there going to be any other crazy experiments? Have we missed any business models here?
You know, the good thing is that Anime Strike did fail, so or at the very least, you know, they had to change their model. They did have to respond to the fact that anime fans didn't want to buy another, you know, didn't want to buy into another service. Like, I was thinking about just this season, and, you know, I'm basically paying $6 or $7 a month just to listen to the dub for My Hero Academia. And I can't even think of trying to pay for that, Crunchyroll, High Dive, Anime Strike, and have a Netflix account. Like, at the end of the day, that's like,
yeah,
$50 a month or something.
I mean, the thing I think is, you know, not to go all like, oh, the guiding hand of capitalism or some bullshit like that, but my thinking is, if you think back to the origins of Crunchyroll, right, like it is a company born out of necessity, right? It was a company born out of, you know, the needs of its particular consumer base, right? And so my thinking then is that, quite frankly, like Amazon had to cancel Anime Strike because, you know, it didn't work. Like, nobody was going to pay for a double paywall. So unfortunately, I think that I don't see Netflix changing unless licensing and publishing anime ever starts to become an actual financial detriment to them. You know, like, let's say...
I guess we didn't even really even go into, like, horrible subs and how that affected the fan sub market, too. And, like,
oh,
just...
Oh, sure, totally, right.
In general, because like, people can just go to horrible subs
right.
if they want to be
why, a pirate. Why fan sub when you could just, you know, rip Crunchyroll? But
you can't do that for Netflix is the thing.
Right. Well, the thing I was going to say is... The only way I really see Netflix realistically changing is if in this like nebulous nightmare future, Netflix becomes the only anime game in town, and then the true like, you know, like some fucking Fall of the Roman Empire shit, like, you know, anime fandom truly returns to, you know, the Dark Ages Wild West of, you know, the early 2000s, and people just say, fuck Netflix, I'm going back to pirating. And only if that became significant and large enough again that Netflix was then, like Crunchyroll, forced to recognize, oh, you know, if we want people to actually pay for anime, we need to, you know, kind of like, I mean, not so great in 2018, but kind of like the origins of, iTunes, right? Like, the idea...
Put everything in one place.
Right. You know, like the idea, you know, the model of iTunes, right? Like easier than stealing, almost as cheap. Like that is
Steam.
Or Steam. Steam's another great example of that. Yeah. You know, probably a better example of that, you know? So I think, but then on the other hand, I have my concerns because, you know, again, I hate to keep using these phrases, but Netflix to me definitely at the top, at this current juncture feels too big to fail, you know, like even if anime became like this huge financial boondoggle, how much could that actually hurt them enough to consider changing their methods?
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still giving them my money either way because I want to watch all their other stuff. So, you know, to them, whether I'm watching the
fuck up. I don't have a Netflix subscription. And I probably never will.
Well, I'm thinking a lot of people though are going to be in. You know, if anybody actually watches other things other than anime, then you know people might be in a similar position where I'm at, where I don't want to cancel. I don't like it's important to me, but it's not important enough to me where I'm going to like cancel my subscription in protest and not be able to watch other stuff. Like
that's what they're counting on.
That's what they're counting on. So
yeah, you're a part of the problem, Joe.
I am the problem. Me being an actual paying customer, I'm the problem. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
And not
I kind of agree with them. Like I didn't, even though I could have gotten Anime Strike, I didn't because I just thought it was a bad service, and I don't have Netflix. And I guess you know it's because I don't really watch. If I am going to watch Netflix, I just go to someone else's house.
Basically.
Just to rub salt in the Anime Strike wound one more time, the only shows that I actually ended up watching off of that were The Rage of Bahamut Virgin Soul.
We'll never talk about that show ever again.
And okay? I'll just say the name and we won't have to talk about it. And Adam the Beginning, which I think was the same season. So thanks, Adam. Thanks,
show.
Anime Strike.
Yeah.
But I guess the only positive I can think of out of the going back to the Violet Evergarden situation is it seems like there at least somebody in Netflix is willing to do simulcasts or has the ability to do it. And maybe at some point they realize that they can have their cake and eat it too. And, you know, do the simulcast with the subs. And then, you know, a couple months later, they can do the big release with the dub. I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. And, you know, based on, again, we can only speculate because Netflix will never put numbers out. But the fact that they keep doing what they're doing is probably an indication that it is working to an acceptable level for them. And they probably don't have much incentive to do it differently at this time. So basically what I'm saying is this entire conversation is a waste of time and there's nothing we can do about it.
Just like every other one of our podcasts.
Netflix is coming into your homes and killing your anime in the crib.
Smothering it with your anime girl body pillow.
They turned the frogs anime.
Yes, there we go.
You know, rest in peace, Dragon Pilot this season, which was picked up by Netflix. And again, sad because it's arguably one of the best shows airing this season. I would say rest in peace, Piano Forest, because that's also this season.
That show, more like rest in peace, Gainax. But
that show deserves what it gets. Yeah. So, all right, I think that'll just about do it. Kind of unfortunate that we have to end this discussion on the fact that, you know, we're kind of stuck with what we got, but it is what it is, and anime will continue to find a way regardless. So, all right. Let's wrap things up with our usual housekeeping. You can find all of our written work at theglorioblog.com. We just started up the roundup for the season, which I'm trying to cover 7 shows in a season, so that'll be interesting. And, you know, our usual, I think we're...
Oh, whoops. We're doing already, huh?
I think we're still covering Darling in the Franxx this season. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's going to be any other shows springing up. If somebody's going to pick up Dragon Pilot at some point, Will decides to be.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, I know Zig is away for a couple weeks here, so we'll see how that goes. But
yep, I'm covering Kamen Rider Build in his absence.
Yep, so that.
Or who knows, maybe turn in for episode 12.5 of the Glorio Chat, the Glorio editorial discussion hour.
Yeah, we'll talk more about all those specifically next episode, I'm sure. So, you can find us all at theglorioblog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at theglorioblog. You can like, comment, subscribe, leave a review or rating on iTunes, or
tell your friends.
Tell your enemies. I guess that's become our closing show catchphrase now. And so that'll do it. We'll be back next week with a more regular anime discussion, and we'll talk to everybody next time.
Bye.
Read the Golden Kamuy manga.
Read Biscuit.
Goodbye.